Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio, your spot for the best mixed martial arts and professional sports entertainment information. Now, please welcome to the ring your host, Mark Bland, with Matt Kruger and Andy Eckel.
Well, most of that is true. Mark Bland is not going to be here this week. I know you love him, but you're just going to have to deal. Well, so you have me, Matthew Kruger, and
Andy Eckel,
my amazing co-host. And right now, we're just going to go right off the bat. Oh, my God, it's Jake Shields.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, how are you, Jake?
Doing good. Just
good.
Good update. Had a long training week and been lazy today.
Well, hey, man, you always need those days off, right?
Sundays are the day to be lazy.
Sundays off, and then pretty much all next week's nice and light, just getting ready for the fight.
Good deal.
Good.
Now, you're taking on Robbie Lawler at a catchweight of 182. I know you fought at 185 before. You've actually beaten what many people consider the number two middleweight in the world in Yushin Okiyami. And, you know, is this going to be like a permanent type move for you? Do you really want to just move up to 185 completely, or...
I think, you know, 70s is my strongest weight, and I plan on staying there. But, you know, for big fights, I'm willing to move up. And I think in the Strikeforce organization, I've pretty much beaten all their 70-pounders. So it kind of put me in a situation where if I wanted big fights, I had no choice really to move up. So.
All right. Well, fair enough. You know, actually, speaking of that, and Strikeforce, you know, and you beating all their 170s, they don't have a welterweight belt yet. And you were the welterweight champion on Elite XC when they dismantled. You're the welterweight champion of, Rumble on the Rock, I believe.
Yeah.
And so if they are to make a welterweight belt, do you feel that you deserve that, or do you think that you should be put into like a tournament-style matchup to get the belt, or what?
You know, whatever they decide. You know, I think I'm clearly the number one contender there, considering, you know, I was just the champ of the show they bought. But it's really up to them. I'd be willing to do a tournament or fight for it. It doesn't really matter. I just want to – I'm just looking – you know, it's really nice to have the belt, but I'm more looking for just big fights, to be honest.
Cool. Well, you know, you've taken on a lot of very big-name opponents. Carlos Condit, Yushin Okiyami, like I already just said. You took on Diego Sanchez at the ADCC Championships in Abu Dhabi. You've taken on John Finch, I believe, also, in the Brazilian...
Yeah, talking about a fishing tournament.
So, I mean, you've had a lot of major bouts in your career, and, you know, would you want to take on, like, John Finch or Diego Sanchez in MMA, in a cage?
Oh yeah, those are two guys I'd love to fight. You know, I've actually trained them both a little bit for MMA, but they're friends. But you know, it's obviously business. So those are two fights that down the road I'd love to have.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you actually mentioned that, because you're the leader, or the captain, I guess, of the scrap pack, which contains David Terrell, Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, as well as Gilbert Melendez. Would you ever take on Nick Diaz?
You know, that's one of the few guys I'd probably never fight. You know, like I said, it is business, and I fight most of my training partners. But I've been training with Nick for like 8 years, you know, so he's like more like a brother to me, so it'd be hard to convince me to fight Nick, you know. I guess, you know, it's possible for the right price, but but it's definitely not a fight I would look for.
Yeah, everybody's got a price.
It would take a lot more than, you know, just a regular fight. It'd have to really make it worth my while, because I'm just, you know, two good friends with Nick, and known him for too long, it would just be, it'd be too weird fighting Nick.
Okay, with the Gracie Shamrock feud going on, would you ever consider taking on one of the Shamrock brothers? And do you what kind of a fight do you think that might be for you?
I'd happily fight either one of them. And I think, you know, they're both decent fighters, but I think they're both, you know, overrated. And I think I would be able to take down and submit either one of them.
Yeah, I think Ken's probably way overrated now.
Yeah, Ken's way overrated. I don't think he trains anymore.
He's the legend. He's kicked everyone's ass, but he hasn't been doing that for a while.
Yeah, I just think he's living off his name. I doubt he even goes to the gym and trains for his fight. He just goes in there and gets hit, falls down, taps out, and gets his payday. I don't think he goes in planning on winning. I think, I'm not sure. I'm not positive. I think he's lost something like 11 fights or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, his last fight that he had against that big 6'3", 350-pound guy, I don't know. I can't even remember who it was, but that was kind of really pathetic. And
yeah, that's right. He did have one on a little show. I think he won some. But,
yeah, it was right before he got suspended for the roids. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
he's not really relevant anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and Frank's still a good fighter, but I think it's way past his time. I think the sport's evolved to another level, and Frank hasn't really kept up. He's still, you know, he's still a decent fighter, and I'd love to fight him. He's such a big name. A lot of people still think he's so good. So, but after, you know, after you got, everyone saw what Nick did to him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That'd be great to see two Caesar Gracie students do the same thing. So,
Okay, well, that kind of segues us into something that I have a theory of. Now, us here at Absolute Wrestling Radio, we not only talk MMA, but we also do professional wrestling. Helps us, you know, reach the bigger demographic.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that your older fighters, they never want to stop. Ken Shamrock being one. Ric Flair on the, you know, professional wrestling side. He's still trying to get back into the WWE. Why do you think that there is this giant need for people to always step back in the ring? Why do you think it's so hard for people to walk away?
I think, you know, you get caught up. That's what you do. You know, it becomes your life. Like, from here, that's all you do. You know, you train for a fight, then you have a little break, and then it's like, all right, you want to start training again. So I guess it just becomes your lifestyle. It's hard to get away from that. And obviously there's the money factor, too. Some of these guys, you know, I don't know if Shamrock, some of these guys might blow all their money and need money again. But I just think for athletes, you get so used to that's like your life. You know, you're at the sport, and then you're still so young to retire. It probably gets hard for these guys to walk away. They need to find another outlet or what to do themselves.
Okay. What do you, I mean, your body only holds out for so long. What would you see yourself doing once you finally decide to throw in the towel?
I would say training other fighters because I still, you know, I do love the
Excellent.
Sport. And like I said, I think it would be hard for me to totally just, you know, one day be like, I'm walking away from the sport when this is everything I know and love. So that's why I'm already, you know, I own a gym, you know, I'm training jiu-jitsu, and at some point I'd love to switch over to training mixed martial arts fighters.
Okay. Excellent. Well, you just recently opened up a studio in Berkeley called Shields Gracie Fighter MMA and Fitness, and you teach there pretty much every day. Now, do you stop teaching there when you're training for your fights, or do you, like, teach there for an hour or two, and then you go do your training and then come back for the night classes and then go train some more? Or how does that work?
I still teach there. I just cut back, you know, so I'm not teaching as much. I'm getting people to help me. So I'm only teaching over, like, 3-4 days a week, like, you know, the month before my fights.
All right. Well, you know, Jason Mayhem Miller started this show called Bully Beatdown. I'd love to talk to him and find out how he actually came up with the concept of it. But I kind of like it because, you know, I mean, I was never really a bully in school, but I saw all the bullying that was going on. And you appeared on one. You fought this guy named John for Sergio and Jason, who's a, you know, John thinks he's this extreme inline skater and guy and everything like that. How was that? How was the taping of that? And how did you like getting into the cage with someone who considers himself a bully?
I thought the show was great. You know, the taping was fun because it's not like, you know, it's not like the stress of a fight. We're just going out there messing around, hanging out in Utah. And the fights were great. You know, I actually did a few of them. I was, you know, did the one they showed. I did another one that they're going to, I believe they're going to show pretty soon. And I was also able to shoot the very first episode, the pilot, which they used to get the show picked up. So.
Okay, so you shot the pilot episode.
Yeah, so I've been able to do three of them so far, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to get brought back to season two. So I think the show's getting great ratings for to bring it back. So the show's it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, we go out there, you know, usually in a fight it's a serious here, we get to go out there and just smack the guy around a little bit. So it's definitely a cool show.
Cool. Well, all right, you've had 27 professional matches, at least that's what's on record for us. And most of your wins, well, aside from the decisions, you got 9 submission wins. And, I mean, that's obvious because you trained under Cesar Gracie, and everybody knows Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And, you know, that's like the elite of the elite to get your black belt in. And you just recently got your black belt 2 years ago, I think, right?
Yeah, about that.
Okay. And, you know, what was it like going through that? And is there a progression above a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu?
You know, going through, it was awesome getting a black belt from Cesar just because, you know, he's known as, you know, hard guy to get him from. You know, the only other black belts he gave out was Nick Diaz and David Trell, so it was awesome to be considered with those guys after so many years of competing. Mm-hmm. And as far as any belt higher, you know, not really. Sometimes you hear guys say red belt or something, but I don't even know how the hell you get that.
Okay.
Maybe they give it to themselves, so I don't know. But, yeah, I know as far as black belts, you know, as high as you can go, it's not like, you know, karate really have second degree, third degree. It's like, you know, once you're a black belt, you're just a black belt for life. So,
yeah, well, hey, that's great. I mean, that's awesome. I can't wait to see it. You and Lawler actually match up pretty well. You guys are both 5'11". You guys are going to catch weight at 182. Now, you said earlier that you usually fight at 170. That's the one that you want to, you know, concentrate on. But now, how does that differ training for a fight that you normally, you know, you have to cut weight and, you know, you don't necessarily starve yourself, but, you know, you go through the steps to cut weight and then you get back in there the day afterwards and you're heavier. How does that differ when you're fighting at something above your regular fighting
weight? Yeah, the difference is this fight, you know, I'm able to eat and not having to diet, which is nice, and then I'm not going to have to cut any water. So cutting water, you know, it's good because you get bigger when you do that, but it also can make you a little bit weak. So who knows, maybe I'll feel better not having to drop any water going in there at my natural weight and you know, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's a small disadvantage going up a weight, but I don't think it's, wasn't acting like it's a huge deal, and it's, I don't think the weight's going to be the deciding factor of this fight. You know, he might have, you know, he'll have a 7-pound weight advantage, but I'll get to go in there feeling more hydrated and feeling great. So I think basically whoever the better fighter that night is going to win. It's not going to have anything to do with the weight.
Where do you see this fight taking place?
I think it'll take place everywhere. You know, obviously we're going to be on our feet for a while, but I think at some point we're going to hit the ground, and that's where I'm going to be able to finish him.
Yeah, sounds good. Any predictions on which round or what you're going to do to him?
You know, Lawler's a tough fighter, so it's hard to make any predictions. You know, he's definitely not a guy I'm underestimating. He's dangerous, and, you know, if I make one mistake, he is a guy who could knock me out. And it's I don't want to go make predictions, but I'm feeling confident about the fight, and I think it's going to be a good night for me.
Well,
you
know, good.
Anything can happen. You know, it's tough fighting. You know, a fight can last a minute. It can be a 15-minute war. You just don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's why, you know, that's the one thing I do like about MMA. You never know what can happen. I mean, we saw it in Houston Alexander, Keith Jardine fight. Jardine had Houston Alexander on the ropes, hurt pretty bad, and,
yeah.
You know, and then he gets knocked out. So, I really do like it. So, now with the Rumble on the Rock welterweight champion that you are, how often do you fight for that promotion? And does Strikeforce have a no fighting clause and no competition clause?
That promotion is actually not around anymore. They kind of dissolved. So
okay, so then you don't really have to worry about that.
Right now, but I'm pretty much exclusively with Strikeforce.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is possible I could go fight somewhere like Affliction or Dream. So they actually did say I could go fight other places, but it would have to be like go when they don't need me, basically.
Did you get to keep the belt?
What's that? Yeah.
That's always cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a few belts around my house now. Like, you know, the old Shooter belt, Rumble the Rock, Lead XC.
Mm-hmm.
But two of the shows aren't around anymore.
Yeah. I there's not really a lot you can do, but, you know, promotions come and go. I mean,
yeah. You know, at least I got the belt still.
I think Strikeforce, I've seen a couple of their events that they've put on. I saw Nick Diaz just dismantle Frank Shamrock, which I was very, very happy about. And yeah, it was kind of funny because I won some money on that one, but we'll talk about that at a later time. I think Strikeforce don't they have like a fighter agreement with Affliction?
I think they're working together somehow. They're different shows, but I know they're working together.
Yeah, because I noticed that on Affliction's next card, on their August 1st card, Babalu is going to be competing on that one. And
yeah,
I know
exactly.
That Babalu was...
Fighters.
Huh?
Yeah, they're sharing a lot of fighters. So.
Yeah, and I know Babalu was supposed to be here at the June 6th one, but, you know, some personal matters came up with him. And
yeah,
that's completely understandable. So, now, what's the hardest challenge in your life? Training every day or raising your daughter every day?
I guess both, you know. It's just all the things. You know, trying to balance the two out, I guess, is really the hard part. Finding time, you know, when you're training all the time and then finding time spending her, especially when it gets close to a fight. Sometimes just pushing my body so hard and so tired, and it's hard, you know, finding time and energy to do anything else.
Now, she's young. She's 7 years old now, 8 years old now?
Eight.
Is she starting to comprehend that, you know, what you do and why you're so tired all the time? And is she starting to understand that a little bit better?
Yeah, definitely. She knows, you know, like a few weeks from my fight that I just get tired, and she knows I'm a little more, you know, I'm usually really nice, but get a little more edgy the few weeks from my fight. And she understands that now, which, you know, she understands that, I guess, when it gets close to fight time, she better just, you know, be well behaved, and I'm going to have less energy. And she's learned to be really good when it gets close to my fights, luckily, so.
Well, that's good. That's good. I guess really the last question I have for you is, other than not having any predictions on really how the fight's going to go, because, I mean, you obviously know you're facing a dangerous opponent in ruthless Robbie Lawler, what's the future hold for Jake Shields?
You know, I really just been trying to concentrate on this Lawler fight and get through him. I think he's such a big opponent. If I beat him, it opens up all kinds of doors. So I'm really just been concentrating on him. And then obviously if I get through him, and then I think I definitely deserve a title shot, so...
Now, are you going to want to take that title at a 170 weight where they need to actually come up with the title, or do you want to take that title from Mr. Kung Lee?
I wouldn't mind taking it from Kung Lee. I think he's a big name, and it would be a big fight. It's a lot nicer to take a title from someone than just have one created. But we'll see if he wants to fight or if he wants to go and keep doing movies. That's the problem with him. I'm not sure if his heart's fighting anymore or not.
Yeah, I have noticed that. So, well, we got to wrap it up here on this first segment. Jake, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on and sharing some of your thoughts and experiences with us. And good luck this next upcoming Saturday against Robbie Lawler. I know he's a hometown guy. A lot of people are going to be rooting for him. But, hey, you know, I like to see good competition between two fighters. It doesn't matter. So,
is there anything you want to plug, Jake?
No, I guess just thanks to my whole team, you know, Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz, Gilbert Melendez, Target Zim, all the guys that helped me out. So
excellent. Awesome. Well, again, thank you very, very much for coming on. And listen, good luck on your fight on Saturday. I know I'll be there, and I'll be watching and cheering you on. So I hope everything goes well with you, and good luck to and the best to you in the future.
Cool. All right, thanks.
All right, man. Take care. And that was Jake Shields, and we are going to have to take a quick break. And I'll tell you what, when we come back, we actually have two pair of tickets to give away today. We're going to give one pair away, 314-969-1380.
First caller.
Or 1-800-491-1380. Those are the hotlines. Give a call. Talk to our producer, Travis. And the first caller, when we come back from commercial break, will win yourself a couple tickets to the Strike Force event to watch Jake Shields take on ruthless Robbie Lawler.
You're listening to the Absolute Wrestling Radio Podcast.
All right, welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio. We are about ready to give away the first set of tickets to the Strikeforce June 6th event. 314-969-1380, 1-800-491-1380 on the east side or worldwide if you're listening to us on team1380.net. I am Andy Eckel. Matt Kruger had to step out real quick, take care of some other business, personal stuff, so, you know, whatever. Anyway, all right, let's go to the lines real quick. Bob, welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio. What's up?
Not too much. How are you doing?
All right, man. So I guess you're going to Strikeforce now, huh?
Oh, great.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we got you some tickets, so let me ask you a question. I'm going to run down this card real quick, and I want to get your opinion on some stuff, all right?
Okay.
First of all, main event, Robbie Lawler versus Jake Shields. Who's going to win?
Oh, I think Lawler has this. He's got the hometown support, and I think he's going to pull through.
All right. A match that was actually announced here in St. Louis at their opening press conference a couple weeks ago. Andre Arlovsky versus Brett Rogers. Who's going to win that one?
Oh, that's a tough. I think I'm going to go with Andre there.
All right. Good call. Nick Diaz versus Scott Smith. Phil Baroni versus Joe Riggs. And Kevin the Monster Randleman, a personal friend of Absolute Wrestling Radio, is going to take on his friend Mike Whitehead. Who you got in those fights?
Oh, those are all tough ones. I like Riggs. The other ones are toss-ups. I'm not really sure.
All right. Well, on the undercard, we have a hometown hero, Jesse Finney, taking on Josh Baumgartner. Tyrone Woodley's taking on Sal Woods. I can't even pronounce his last name, Lucas Lopes. Pat Benson's taking on Dave Cochran, and Booker DeRoos is taking on James Wade, so we got a couple more hometown guys on there. Listen, Bob, I hope you have an excellent time at the Strikeforce event. We're going to send you over to Travis real quick, let him get your information, and we'll get back to you, all right?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Jonathan, what's up? Welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio. What's going on?
Not much. Too bad I missed out on the strike.
Hey,
tickets,
I'll tell you what, we're going to have another opportunity coming up a little bit later in the show, so you're more than welcome to try back then, and as soon as you do, hey, maybe you'll get them this time. So what's your deal on the Strike Force? Who you think's going to take it?
It's a tough one. I'd like to see Arlovsky fight, though.
Yeah, I think Arlovsky is going to be coming off. He's coming off a devastating loss to Fedor Emelianenko, and I think he's actually going to be able to take it and take care of business this time. I think he's going to be able to take Brett Rogers down. I think he learned a little bit of a lesson, and he's the first person I've ever seen that has really had Fedor just like reeling. So.
He is a former UFC champion, too.
That's true, but you know what? Every former UFC champion that's ever stepped up against Fedor has fallen to the man. So, I guess, I'll let you know whenever we're going to be giving away the second set of tickets, so you can call back, and I hope you do, and I hope you win next time, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, take care, bud. Mike on line 3, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Oh, it's cross the I's and dot the T. It's the T-Man. What's going on?
Well, personally, I need a confirmation about something that I heard yesterday.
All right.
And I just basically need the truth on it.
Okay.
First of all, Taz signing up with TNA.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you got Samoa Joe's been coming out looking like Taz for the past couple months now, and with the whole Nation of Violence. And, it's funny. Taz was actually released out of his contract, like, I think a week before WrestleMania. And he said, hey, listen, even though I'm not on contract, I still want to do you know, I still want to do WrestleMania. I'll do it. And they told him, no, we don't want you to do it. So that's not going to surprise me at all. I hope Taz, I wish Taz all the best over there in TNA. I think he'll do very good over there.
Yeah, I covered this a little while ago. Something was wrong with my levels there. I don't know. I couldn't hear myself talk. I covered this last week. I have a theory of where they're going, and I think they're gonna have another faction, like another stable. And you're going to have the front line, you're going to have the Main Event Mafia, and then you're going to have this Nation of Violence. And it's basically going to be a playoff of ECW. And you're going to have, you know, Stevie, I think Eric Young will probably end up being there. Taz, Abyss.
Team 3D.
Team 3D might. They're on the front line right now.
Oh, come on, man. You got to put
3D
in there.
But then you also have the, you know, Raven, Mike... I guess Raven just was signed. Shane Douglas, you know, was just signed. Victoria just came back. They're signing, was it Spike? Spike's coming back.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Balls Mahoney. So it should be pretty good. And I'm pretty sure Joe and Taz are going to be right there at the top.
Mike, still there? Hey, T-Man, where you at?
Hello?
All right, there you are.
Okay.
Okay, the other question I have was, now I heard this through the guy who runs the fan shop, that Vince might someone in the near future in the process of buying TNA.
Really?
I was trying to get a confirmation to find out if that was true or not.
I don't think anybody's buying TNA right now.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. That'd be kind of interesting.
They might work it into an angle, but I haven't heard anything. If there was something, it's probably going to be something that they would keep very, very secret. So you're probably going to be hard-pressed to find something on that, but I will see what I can find. I'll talk to some people I know, maybe.
Well, like I said, I was talking to the guy that runs the other fan shop. He was telling me and a friend of mine about that.
Huh. Well, hey, maybe you never know. Maybe breaking news. Maybe TNA's for sale, and we didn't know it, and now we know.
Okay, so, thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, bud. Take care.
I don't know how TNA pays for all of their wrestlers. They work out of Orlando. They sell tickets from Universal. And so, like, you know, most of the fans there in the stands are just there because it's a cool show. I guess merchandise, DVDs. But
who knows? But, you know, another way they could be paying for it is by the pay-per-views like Sacrifice that we just had this past Sunday.
Well done.
1 week ago today. And, you know... I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great, great pay-per-view. We had Samoa Joe versus Kevin Nash, I'm sorry, an I Quit match between AJ Styles and Booker T. You had, you know, all kinds of different stuff. The Ultimate Sacrifice match, Mick Foley versus Jeff Jarrett versus Kurt Angle versus Sting.
Beer Money Incorporated defeats the British Invasion to win the Team 3D tournament. Now this, I mean, I like to see sportsmanship, but it's getting a little out of hand. This is like the hand-holding thing that WWE's trying to pull right now. And I don't know. It's boring. I want to see people fight. I want to see them get mad at one another.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you say that. A couple weeks ago, I was at the Bridgeton show, the Steel Warrior promotion out in Bridgeton. And one of the matches, you know, usually when fighters come out in the cage, they'll touch gloves and that's about it. And then they'll go in and they'll proceed to pound on each other. Well, unfortunately, in this one, that did not happen. They started hugging in the center of the ring before the match.
Oh my god, it was pretty bad.
I was not very happy with that.
Like
they
didn't want to fight, wasn't that it? Like
yeah,
they were
pretty
friends
much,
and they were like,
I don't want to fight.
You.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, well, let's see, you want to run down the results of Sacrifice?
We
don't know. Yeah. Well, they don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Well, all right. The pre-show was Amazing Red defeating Kiyoshi. I like this guy, Amazing Red. He was back there. I think he was been gone for about 4 or 5 years. He's still only like 28 now. He's a little guy. He's my size, and he's just a high flyer. He's crazy. I don't know. And I hope they didn't just bring him in for this tag, you know, tournament. I hope they don't just get rid of him. But Lethal Consequences and Eric Young defeated the Motor City Machine Guns and Sheik Abdul Bashir. To me, it just kind of seems like, the Daivari. To me, it just kind of seems like you had all of the X Division wrestlers and they had nothing else for them.
Yeah, so they just threw them in. What the hell? So, yeah, and then you also had in a Monster Balls match, Taylor Wilde defeated Daphne. X Division Championship, Suicide. Champion Suicide and Daniels.
Who is Suicide?
Kaz?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. Last time I saw him, he was looking a little bulky.
We'll figure it out. So, Christina Angela Love beat Awesome Kong. Samoa Joe beat Kevin Nash, finally. In the finals of the Team 3D Tag Invitational Tournament, Beer Money Inc., like Matt just said a little bit ago, beat the British Invasion. The I Quit match for the Legends Championship, Booker T. quit. Well, actually, who threw in the towel for him?
Jenna Mascara.
Jenna.
From the Survivor.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Yeah, not really. Who cares? So, the Ultimate Sacrifice. Remember, Sting put his career on the line.
Yeah, his career.
Mick Foley put his title on the line. Kurt Angle put his head, his leadership,
his
of the main
godfathership.
Event, yeah, his godfathership of the Main Event Mafia on the line, and Jeff Jarrett put his majority shares on the line. So, with that being said, it was kind of interesting. Actually, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. I did not watch it live, but I did see it.
Mick Foley decided to sit out in the ring and commentate for a while. Nick, hold on just a second, bud. We'll get to you in just a second. Mick Foley decided to sit outside and actually commentate for a while everybody else was beating each other up, which I thought was kind of funny.
It is funny. It goes to crazy Mick Foley. It plays it perfectly.
Exactly. But anyway, Sting ended up beating everybody. He actually pinned Kurt Angle, so now Sting is the new leader of the Main Event Mafia.
And honestly, I think that's probably the best way that they could have done it, because I like Foley with the belt. Jarrett would... there's just all kinds of things that could go wrong this way. It's not very... I guess what the word is, it's a safe ending.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just about the same. It's just now Kurt and Sting have switched positions. It's a safe ending. Let's see. Let's go to Nick.
Nick, what's up, buddy?
Hey,
welcome to Absolute Wrestling Radio again.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Yeah, I just got that Amazing Red. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think he's needs a bigger push. And he's the guy that can energize the crowd, and he's the kind of people that they need back in TNA, and not these Bobby Lashleys and everything. And we need more people like Amazing Red. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I like Amazing Red. I like what the premise of TNA was actually based on. I mean, I think TNA was originally based in. Wait, who's this guy?
You know who this guy is. I believe you know who this guy is.
I know.
I don't know who this guy is.
Name's TNT Kenny G, and I'm just taking over the radio station. Nick, sorry to keep things a little on the short side.
You're going to have to call back, buddy. We're getting like a hostile invasion on the radio station.
Okay, so apparently... Nick,
unbelievable.
Dude, I'm here. I'm tired of all the talking. Mark Bland, where's your boy? Where's your boy?
He's at a baptism right now. His
nephew's
getting
family stuff, dude. I mean,
I'm a little flustered right now because the last time I got into anything with you guys,
you were skin up like a kid that fell off of his bicycle, and you were outside the building crying, and that's fine because you don't send a boy to do a man's job. Oh, and by the way, when I say take over, I'm taking over. I believe I have my first caller on the line. Do I not?
Well, we got a caller on the line. Let's find out who it is.
Let's see who this guy is.
Who could it possibly be? Who is this?
Hey.
Who?
Bland isn't there.
Who?
Bland.
No, Bland is not here today. He's not, that's why you listen to the whole show.
I know this.
At the beginning when we say that Mark Bland's not here today. But
I know this voice.
He wouldn't be there when the future calls. Because the time for play is over. Ever since the hype for this match... I've been following Bland. I know where the little fat boy gets his donuts in the morning. I know where he goes to the gym, which is rare. And if he wants to keep spending time with his family and his kids without wearing a colostomy bag for the rest of his life, he'll know what's best for him, and he'll back off. Because when I'm done with him, he'll be lucky if he needs to produce kids again.
Oh, well, now, those are kind of big words for somebody who has to hide behind a microphone. I mean, come on.
That's a 6'9" shadow of death, brother, and that's what your boy doesn't realize.
You don't go
to Broadway and get in the ring and bump for a couple minutes and talk to Coney Costas, and all of a sudden your wrestling career is revived. You know, the kid he was working with, my God, they blew two spots and there wasn't but one spot in it. Geez, dude, let me explain something. When I say take over, I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to displace you folks. But he has to understand what he's dealing with.
Who?
Your boy Mark Bland.
Oh, I'm pretty
just
sure
you
knows.
Say,
I'm pretty sure he knows who he's dealing with.
Just because you get a couple celebrities to say that you're going to knock somebody out, don't make it so.
I don't know, man. You know, it's kind of funny that you're here. Well, how come Donovan couldn't actually come with you?
Well, to be honest with you, he's on his third shot of a triple shot weekend. He had to fly to another state. He's the one rolling stuff, not going to a baptism and making excuses. Because I told Bland I was coming, and I told him that it was going to get this nasty.
I wish you would have let me know.
Yeah, that would have been interesting if you would have let us know. So we could.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to use the element of surprise. And I'm tired of all the y'all. At HVW, dude, you saw how we do it. It was a little
brutal.
I didn't
just see it. I felt it.
You felt it. I mean, let's be honest. You stepped into the wrestling world, and, you know, we punched your card. I mean, I hate to say it, but that was to send a message. I personally have nothing against you. I'm all about this business, and I'm all about reality. This isn't a show on Fox. This is my life. This is what I do. And this is what the guys get in a car, and they ride down the roads for hours at a time, and they do, and they put it on the line. They don't just hop back in it and say, ooh, I'm the best, and work some little kid up for 10, 12 minutes. Future, you still on the line?
Yeah, what's up?
Well, just remember, Future, that there is no future without a present, and Mark Bland's definitely the present, so...
Mark Bland's obviously living in the past.
I don't know, man. I think he's more living in the present, dude. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
He's living in the presence of somebody else's success, what you're saying?
No, he ain't living in the present of anybody else's success. I mean, honestly...
All right, now I'm going to cut you off right there, because you know what? Around St. Louis, we have a little thing we do in the wrestling business, and it's a drinking game. Mm-hmm. Every time that your boy Mark Bland says the word, Randy Orton, I'll train Randy Orton, we drink. And, dude, I got pie-faced the other night just listening to his recap of the AWR.
Well, I mean, come on, that's because you're a little guy, dude. I mean, come on. You can't hold no alcohol. I bet Donovan can't hold his alcohol either.
Well, you know, we're not here for a drinking contest. We're here for an ass-kicking contest.
No,
we've got two legs apiece.
Oh, you guys are killing me. You just said it's a drinking game.
You know how many
game.
Times your boy says Randy Orton? My God, dude. Randy Orton did this first time I met him. I was fixing to punch him in the face because all he could say was, well, you know, he walked up the Future, and that's when the heat started, whether you know it or not. It was a TNA show. You ready to get real? You know, me and you could do wonderful things in the ring. I think he does wonderful things by himself because Bland doesn't impress me one iota. Dude, he's so far out of shape, he's two stops back from it. So when we do our drinking game, Randy Orton, we just listen to a replay of AWR, and it gets old, dude. Did Future tell you anything about anybody? He's wrestling superstars all over the country. He doesn't have to tell you where he's been, what he's done. It's obvious. You can get on any internet site and see it. Go ahead and Google the word Future Donovan Ruddick. Your boy needs to.
All right. Hold on. Matt, go ahead and do that. Do that real quick.
Google it.
Google it up.
Google it.
This is what we're doing right now.
What's wrong with you Googler? You need a quarter to get it going? Come on now. Donovan, I'm just trying to get these guys. You know, I know you're out of town. How was the flight last night?
Oh, it was good. Thanks for taking care of me.
Yeah. Mm. They take care of the hotel and everything?
Straight. It's all good.
See, we do it first class at HVW, man. We send guys out.
Was that with the male masseuse or without the male masseuse?
I don't know, dude. Mark Bland's not here, so the male masseuse must be, you know, the latter option. Because he's big on the tug and rub, ain't he, Daddy?
All right. Well, here we go. Let's see. Donovan Ruddick, huh? Born in 1963?
Oh, that's a different one.
Nope. I don't know. Anyway, look, guys, here's the deal. I appreciate you guys stopping by. Really, it was nice, but can we get back to the show now? I mean, we got a few more things we got to discuss. And,
all right, well,
you know, as much as I love the feuding between you guys, because really, I mean, I know Mark Bland's going to knock Donovan out. And,
oh, God.
You know, with you stepping into the ring as well, you know, and we might have to, you know, rough you up a little bit for what you did to Matt earlier. So.
Anytime you want to rough me up, you just go ahead and do that because, you know, dynamite comes in small packages. And like they say, believe half of what you hear and all of what you see. When you put your hands on TNT Kenny G, it might be all for you, brother.
Well, the problem with that is that not only do you have a small package, you have a small fuse, so you might blow up a little bit too quick.
When I do blow up, you better back up, because you look like 20 pounds of crap in a 10-pound bag.
Yeah, maybe so.
Donovan, I'm done. Enjoy your stay. Take care of the match. And I do have this radio station until I say that I don't. And I don't. I'm out of here.
Okay, well,
tell
wonderful. Thank you.
To call me.
Thank you. All right, we'll make sure we do that. You guys take care. Have a good day. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Actually, it probably should. Anyway, Nick, listen, dude, I apologize about that. Please call back and continue what you were saying. I remember you asking about, you know, the Amazing Red, and I think that the Amazing Red is an awesome guy. I think that's what the premise of TNA was originally based on.
Bringing in the younger guys.
I'd love to see more of that coming. You know, I agree with you. You know, why do these guys keep constantly wanting the washed-up WWE guys who leave the WWE for reasons
easy money,
unknown,
cheap pop,
and then go into TNA? So, Nick, please call back.
TNA knows how to use their wrestlers.
Yeah, they do. So,
in my opinion, TNA right now is such a better product. When you have ECW out of your big three being your best show, and
that's
probably the
scary.
Second best show is a one-hour mashup called Superstars, you're in a bad spot.
Yeah, that is kind of scary. So this is what we're going to do.
We're going to go ahead.
Let's not take a break yet. We're talking about WWE Superstars jumping over to TNA, and the WWE just recently released another massive superstar that actually really surprised
me. I wanted to talk about that when we came back from break.
Because we're
running short, and if we take a break now, we can just knock everything out of the park.
Nick, can you hold on for us for a few minutes until we get back from break?
Ladies and gentlemen,
that'd be awesome.
314-969-1380 or 1-800-491-1380. Give us a call. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Absolute Wrestling Radio Podcast.
This is Sanjay Dutt, the Guru, and you're listening to Absolute Wrestling Radio.
Welcome back to Absolute Wrestling Radio. My name is Matthew Kruger.
I am Andy Eckel.
And I just want to apologize to all of our fans out there. Especially to Nick. Nick, thank you very much for calling back. I'll be with you in just a second. But for those of you that are just now tuning in, let me give you an update of what just happened. For about 5 to 10 minutes, Kenny G from High Voltage Wrestling decided to come in here and try to tell us that this was now his show. And he did succeed for those 5 to 10 minutes. And Mark, you should have been here because maybe you could have handled the situation. I really don't know what more else to say, so we'll go to... you know what? I know what to say. Next caller to call in right now will get 2 tickets to Strike Force. We did this already, so I wanted to hit you with a surprise once we came back from break. Last time we did it before the break. So next caller gets 2 tickets to Strike Force. Nick, how's it going, man?
How's it going?
Sorry about that, Nick.
Welcome back.
Oh, that's kind of funny. We all need a little laugh now and then, and that was the laugh of the day.
Well, that's good.
Glad you enjoyed yourself.
I was trying to take you out is like France trying to help America.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. I was a little nervous. Last time I had a run-in with Kenny G in the future, things did not turn out so well for me.
I don't care if he's Kenny G or Warren G. He's not going to take you out.
Thank you. Don't go dissing on the regulators now.
Yeah, and you guys were saying something about there's a huge star that has got released. Is it okay if I go ahead and say who it is?
Sure, we'll go ahead, because I got some things that I want to talk about. And you probably have a lot of information yourself, so we'll go ahead and we'll converse. We owe it to you for sticking with us, man.
Awesome. Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy! How was that? Did I do that well?
Awesome, yes.
Excellent. Okay, so why...
Kennedy!
Yes. So why do you think he was let go? Wow, look at those lines!
Wow, dude, yeah, we got all kinds of lines.
One of the reasons that I do agree with what some people are saying on the internet is that back body drop that he did on Randy Orton.
Exactly.
Really could have done a lot more worse damage and everything, and I just think if you remember in the past, he's the one that injured John Cena, so... Vince doesn't want him injuring any more superstars or putting up with any more stuff. So I just think final straw, and he had to go, and you're not going to get rid of Orton or anybody else. So.
Oh, no. Orton is the number one guy right now. And if I can remember, Orton has a condition with his collarbone where it tends to pop out of place a lot. And I think it's happened 3 times since he's been employed by the WWE. The wrestlers know this, and they know they should be taking care of him. But if you watch Kennedy, he comes up from the headlock position to the back body drop, and it just seems to me that with Randy being a hothead, he kind of took the move a little wrong, and then he swung at Kennedy, because he thought it was Kennedy's fault. I don't think it's Kennedy's fault, but then again, if you're Vince McMahon, you have a guy who's injury prone. He injured John Cena. He almost injured Randy Orton. I think he's also taken out one other person. I think there comes a time where you just have to cut your losses and decide that this guy, since he's been employed, has only been on the active roster, not being injured or wellness policied, only 39% of the time. To me, that's just not worth all the money and time that they give him.
He did get future endeavor.
If he can't wrestle anymore, do you think he would make a good living? Maybe, being an announcer, maybe go to TNA and do something announcing?
Oh, definitely. I think he'll show up in a TNA ring. And basically, if he can prove himself for a period of 12 months over at TNA where he can remain injury-free, I guarantee you the WWE will look at him again, and then when he comes back, he'll break something else.
The positive thing about TNA is they only have a couple matches so often, and he could heal up well, and he could do a lot of good promos and stuff. And TNA, that's the positive thing about TNA is they know how to help their superstars out. And Dixie Carter, she really does a great job with superstars in the past that have been injured and everything.
Very true. Yeah, TNA knows how to take care of the guys. Well, Nick, thank you very much for calling in.
And don't let anyone take over again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think if Kennedy goes to TNA, they should probably call him Mr. Roosevelt.
No.
That's a crappy president joke. I'm sorry.
All right,
Jonathan.
Jonathan, line two, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Just want to talk a little bit about TNA.
Sure, what's going on?
I'm not real pleased with the direction they're going. They're going way, way away from where they started.
Is it better than the WWE?
Yes, but it's still not good. Because if you think about it, back in the dying days of WCW, how many factions did they have?
Two.
No, well, you had Raven's Flock.
No, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. I agree with you on that one, Jonathan. The factions are what's killing wrestling. That's why WCW died, is because of how many people joined the NWO. Because it got too powerful. Eric Bischoff was letting these guys run around, do whatever they wanted to every wrestler, so everybody wanted to join. I can't blame them. Can you?
Well, no, I don't blame them. I don't blame the NWO, but I blame the people that were running the company, and you've got one of them helping run TNA right now.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. Yeah, I don't like the direction that they're going with the main event mafia, the front line, and also with the Nation of Violence. So,
well, you also said it a couple weeks ago that they let Roxy go.
Yeah,
due to somebody from the Main Event Mafia. Does that feel like WCW? You know, and then last week you mentioned that you don't see them around more than 5 years, and I can agree with that, because if they don't go back to what they originally started with, if you remember when they originally started, the heavyweight belt was actually almost secondary to the X division belt.
Yeah, yeah. The
heavyweight division was retreads, as I would call them. And your X division was your up and comers, your guys off the independent scene that needed a break. And they were getting it. Well, therefore, you have Joe, you have Eric Young, you have the Motor City Machine Guns. I mean, Lethal Consequences. You've got all those guys. Why don't they go back to pushing the X division like they did? We do the heavyweight division as a side attraction like they always have, and start bringing some of the guys in from the independents again. That's where it needs to go. I mean, I was just happened to be lucky enough to be out in California this past week, and I caught a pro wrestling guerrilla show, and they had just some phenomenal talent. I mean, they had a tag team that would push the Motor City Machine Guns or anybody in the tag team division by the name of the Young Bucks. They had an individual.
The Young Bugs?
Young Bucks.
Young Bucks, okay.
And then they had a gentleman by the name of Joey Ryan that pushed Chris Hero to his limit. I mean, those are the guys that they need to be going after.
Well, I think it would be in the best interest.
And the other thing was that they released some of their young talent. Sonjay Dutt.
Yeah.
Petey Williams. I mean, those are the guys that they should have kept and built on.
Yeah. So, well, all right, Jonathan, thank you very much for the call. We got some more lines we got to take real quick.
And we only have so much time. I apologize.
Jonathan, yeah, we apologize for having to cut you off, buddy, but thank you very much for calling Absolute Wrestling Radio. Have a good day. And now let's go to the winner, Tim. How you doing, Tim?
Doing okay. How are you guys today?
Excellent. Oh. And you have the opportunity to go to Strike Force because you just won two tickets.
Sweet.
Absolutely. Yes, you did. Two tickets, June 6th, which happens to be this next upcoming Saturday night. Doors open at 6:30. Feature bouts are actually at 7. So I think it'll be fun, man. I think we're going to have some, there's going to be some really good fights there. We got a friend of Absolute Wrestling Radio, and Kevin the Monster Randleman is going to be fighting that night, and I hope he gets his premiere, you know, his re-return to the ring. I hope he has all the ring rust knocked off of him, which, you know, we know he's been training at Extreme Couture, so I'm sure he will. So anyway, Tim, is there anything else, man? You want to talk about anything real quick?
No. I'm more into the Affliction.
Oh, you like Affliction? Okay. Well,
we can talk
that's
Affliction.
That's fair enough. August 1st.
I am an avid fan of Fedor.
Oh, no. Well, Fedor is probably our favorite fighter. I think
he might be not a fan of Fedor.
I think he might be our mascot.
No.
Yeah.
I would go with Lyoto Machida.
That's a good guy to have as a mascot. Awesome fighter.
Yeah. He would be an awesome fighter. So, anyway. All right, Tim. Well, we're going to let you go. Let Travis get all your information, your name, number, address, all that stuff, so we can ship you off the tickets. And we will see you on June 6th.
And now we go to the one, the only, the T-Man. How's it going?
Oh, good. Good, fellas.
What's up, T-Man?
Did I just hear Mr. Kennedy got released?
Yep, he sure did.
He was wished well in all future endeavors. Yes.
Yes, he was future endeavored.
So I guess this must have happened after 7 p.m. Friday night because that was the last time I was online.
Yeah, I think it did happen on Friday. And basically, did you hear about why? I mean, there's all kinds. I've got pages right in front of me of different conspiracy theories.
Well, I just heard what the tail end of what you guys were talking about, but I would think also because earlier in the week they said he had sprained his wrist, so I guess Vince must think he's just totally snake bitten at this point.
He's Mr. Glass from that movie Unbreakable.
It's possible, but you know what's really funny about that is there's a video of Kennedy online not saying a word, just shaking his wrists. Both of them.
Yeah, just flopping his hands up and down, just looking at the camera, going like, I'm fine. I don't know what you guys are talking about. There is another theory that he might have asked for his own resignation. So, why he would do that, there's a couple of things. Maybe he thinks that if he goes to TNA, they'll use him better. He probably won't get the paycheck, but they tend to take care of their wrestlers a lot better than the WWE does. They have a lighter work schedule. So being that he is injury prone, maybe he's trying to get more of a part-time job. Who knows? Maybe he's going to Hollywood.
You never know. Well, you know, I'll say this. I'll try to make it as fast as possible. I was never a fan of all these guys that they had cut in the last 4 to 6 months. You know, the Rock and Rave Infection, T.D. Williams, and Sanjay Dutt. I just think they're just so Bush League to me. Mm-hmm. Even though I know they got their following. But I think, I disagree with the guy that called earlier. I kind of like the direction of what TNA is going because they're actually becoming more serious. Well, it used to kill it for me, but everything was about the ha-ha, the jokes. And I think that's less and less now, except if you look at what they've done with ODB and Abyss, then that's the only comedy you see. They've been trying to smarten up
Cody Deaner
all of a sudden.
Cody Deaner, oh my God.
And now you see that they're hinting that Taz might come over. We already saw Lisa Marie Barron, a.k.a. Victoria.
Yeah, they even called her Victoria. They were like, Mike Tenay, oh my God, is that who I think it is? That is, that's Victoria. But what's she doing here in the Impact Zone?
Exactly. And even though they haven't really shown him in the last month, I guess they're still implying Bobby Lashley might come over.
Yeah.
They haven't really talked about him that much lately.
He's doing some MMA stuff right now, and the way his contract is set up, I don't know if he actually signed it or not, and I think that might be another issue, is that why they're not using him, because he hasn't actually sat down and signed on the dotted line to anything official, even though they're being very open with his MMA schedule and training and fights. So, but I think he might be worried that he's, you know, going to be injuring himself, and he doesn't want to, you know, take out MMA for the TNA.
Well, you know, a lot of people do not remember this, but early on TNA's run, like circa 2002-03, there was an unknown tag team that jobbed out basically to some
I don't know if it was like the Naturals or AMW at the time, but it was Sean Daivari, and the other guy was Mr. Kennedy. Mm. A lot of people don't remember that they originally did try to go in TNA before they went to WWE.
Wow. So here, maybe. Okay, you take Kennedy. His real name is Ken Anderson. You call him Mr. Anderson. Okay, so now you have TNA hiring Hugo Weaving, Agent Smith from The Matrix, and then you have an Agent Smith and Mr. Anderson feud. I'd mark out. I really would.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, that's a good idea. Call him Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. Kennedy, wow.
You know? Well, I just thought that was very interesting. That's why I wanted to chime in before you all went off today.
Well, no, we love hearing from you, T-Man. It's always a good time when we get to talk.
Oh, as always. Just cross the T and dot of the I. Take care.
All right, take care, sir. T-Man. We got another caller. All right. Let's see who is it real quick. Hold on. Gotta figure out who it is. All right, real quick though, I gotta switch this. I gotta talk about this. All right.
All right.
Did you hear that Rampage punked out again?
Yeah.
Rampage Jackson, the Rampage, like the biggest name in the UFC today. Oh, former light heavyweight Rampage Jackson punked out again. Here, let me read this headline for you, okay? And this is what I'm talking about, him punking out, all right? With current number one contender Quentin Rampage Jackson electing to face Rashad rather than take an immediate shot at regaining his UFC light heavyweight title, Brazilian slugger Mauricio Shogun Rua has reportedly agreed to be the new champ, Lyoto Machida's first challenge. Now, here's my issue with this. I'm not a fighter. You're not a fighter, but I've talked to fighters. I've talked to a lot of other people, and there is no way that you, as a fighter, if a promoter comes up to you and says, hey, do you want a shot at your title? No fighter ever turns that down. What is Quentin thinking? What is Rampage thinking? I have no idea other than the fact that he's scared of Lyoto Machida. We'll talk more about that next week. I don't know, man. I'm thinking we have to kind of wrap it up, don't we?
Yeah, I think we are just about done.
All right. Well, thanks to Travis for running the board. Thanks to Missouri Wrestling Revival for providing you guys with the podcast. You can go there and download the podcast each and every week.
And to Kenny G, thank you very much for coming in and disrupting our fans.
Yeah.
They come here to listen to us, not to you. So why don't you stay on your own show?
Oh, that he doesn't have? Or the high voltage wrestler. Well, the high voltage wrestler. Yeah.
He's got a microphone, but his microphone's in the middle of a ring.
Okay. All right. Well, you can also go to www.absolutewrestlingradio.com. You can visit us on our MySpace and Facebook page. Guys, I mean, as far as I know, I mean, we're packed with stuff today. Thanks to Jake Shields for the interview, man. That was awesome. Anything else?
No. Congratulations to everybody who won tickets. We'll send those out as quick as possible.
Tomorrow. They'll be in the mail tomorrow.
Team 1380 Sports Radio, KSLG, St. Louis.